grace. Let's take it as a Bible study. Because it is also misunderstood by so many churches. The three ordinances of grace. Three ordinances of grace. There are three ordinances that have been left for the church. Three of them. The first one is water baptism. The second one is the communion, what we call the Lord's Supper. And the third one is the feet washing. These are the three ordinances in the Church of Jesus Christ. Water baptism, communion, and feet washing. Because all of them symbolize something about the body of Christ. And we are to do this to remember something pertaining to the body of Christ, pertaining to our salvation, as reflected in the body of Christ. Water baptism, we know so much about it. Praise God. These three ordinances, I say, as important as they are ordinances instituted by Christ Himself. By Christ Himself. And I know of a pastor that came here and said, I think during our last communion service we had, and he said he did not believe in, I don't know whether it's communion service or feet washing, he said. Feet washing. With a microphone, a pastor said he does not believe in feet washing, but he has just participated in our feet washing for the first time. And he's a member of Redeem. Pastor of Redeem. So it means, and I've also had another big pastor, television evangelist, Matthew Ashimolo, no vex, so at the call name here. Eh? Please, no vex, eh? If I call your pastor name, please. So that you go, no, say, which kind of church you come like this? This is an end time message believing church. We are not a denomination. Hallelujah. We are not a denomination. Praise God. We are part of the evening light. What we preach is the evening light gospel. And the evening light gospel does not look for terminology to support what you want to say. There's no time to look for grammar. Say it as it is. That is evening light. Because there's no more time. Christ will come at any time now. And we need to prepare the people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is scriptural. If I call your pastor name, it's scriptural. I know some pastors' names that we are called in the Bible. There is Himanius, Philetus, Alexander, the coppersmith. They are in the Bible. Apostle Paul called them, called their names. So if I call, remember, I'm preaching what Apostle Paul preached. Praise the Lord. Ashimolo! I heard him, I was hearing him. That some people are making fuse over water baptism. Some baptize in the name of Father, some Holy Ghost. Some say they baptize in the name of Jesus. Some say they baptize twice. Some say infant baptism. Some say sprinkling. He say, and they are busy. He say, as if that has anything to do with salvation. I say, and they are all busy. But he say, the important thing is you have been baptized anyhow. And people are looking up to such people as mighty preachers because they speak fine English. So we were not they speak English now. We are looked at as chupe chupe preachers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, those of you who have been coming here, we have taught you enough about water baptism and the importance of water baptism. And I'm not going to say that today. That is why we tell the people every Tuesday to correct so many of these errors. Because that is the purpose of the ministry of William Marion Braham. It's a restoration ministry. To bring the people back to Bible Christianity, back to the apostolic doctrine, and back to the original power of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you will see that power here tonight. You will see him. Because William Branham assured us. He said, anytime we preach this message, he said, the pillar of fire will come down. And the pillar of fire is the presence of God. And when he comes down, he's not coming so that people will take his picture and photograph and put for internet. No, he's coming to confirm to everybody that there is a living God through the testimonies of the people. Praise the Lord. Because we know some ministry that snap photograph and there's a reflection on the wall. They send a pillar of fire when they print the picture. That's the pillar of fire seen on the screen there. That same pillar of fire that appeared there is the same pillar of fire in Exodus chapter 13 that led the children of Israel by night in their wilderness journey. The same pillar of fire that met Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus. And who was that pillar of fire? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, when we finish preaching, God will back it up. So when we call any prayer point here, take it seriously. Any prayer point we give you after preaching the word, heaven is obligated to back it up. Heaven will do it so that you will know that what they are preaching in that church is true. Amen. And if after God has confirmed to you that what they are preaching in that church is true by the miracle, and you refuse to take heed to what they are preaching, then he also uses it as a reason to judge you. Because you have no excuse anymore. Praise the Lord. So every Tuesday, we teach the people correct water baptism, and then we baptize them. Without you having to go to baptismal school. That's part of the error. There's no ordinance in the Bible, no commandment that says before you are baptized, you must undergo baptismal school. And then, those of us who don't pass any exam, you continue to repeat and repeat. While you are still reciting and reciting, Christ will come. You never baptize. And we didn't see that pattern in the Bible. One day, 3,000 baptized. One day. Another time, 5,000 baptized. Amen. The second one, hallelujah. And the reason why this I feel it's necessary to share this with you is because this Sunday is our monthly communion service. For this month, this Sunday. And if you are coming, make sure you fast. Don't eat till you have finished taking that bread and the wine. And I discovered that during the first service, before the communion service, the church will full. But when it is time for the communion service, a lot of people will leave. And each time I see that, all it lets me know is somebody does not understand the meaning of the communion service. If you do, it will reflect in your attitude towards it. So I thought maybe I should just say one or two things today. We may not finish it because of time, but it's important, even if I will summarize it and give you a picture, it's important that you know these other two ordinances, the communion and the feet washing. They are ordinances, they are in the Bible. They are ordinances instituted by Christ himself. Now we talk about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper came from the Passover feast in Exodus chapter 12. Can we read? Can we see it? Those of you who already know it, be patient. So that those who are from Catholic Church, Olumba, Olumba, Sele, and who? Sabat, Guru Maharaj, so that the rest, Ekwa, Kokin, and who? So that they can catch it with us. Let me read it. Let me read the story. We all know it, but let me just read it for the purpose of Bible study. Verse 1, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. I'll read it up to verse 14. Can I read on now? Hallelujah. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Can somebody help me read it? From verse 1 to verse 14.
Praise the Lord. Exodus 12 from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodded at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the putenance thereof. Verse 10. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever.
Hallelujah. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Continue that reading. Continue that reading from verse 21. Read it up to verse 27. Let's know why they were to. He emphasized the reason they were to keep it for a memorial. Something that will make them remember the memory of something that happened before. Read it from verse 21.
Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seared the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. I will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe these things for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever.
Verse 24 again.
And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever.
Forever. Go on.
And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep these services. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So that is where the Passover feast, what we call today the Lord's Supper, that is where the Passover feast was instituted. They were to hold that as a memorial to remind them, hallelujah, that it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered their houses. Hallelujah. Now, after the Passover, there is another ordinance again from verse 15. Read again. Read from verse 15 to verse 20.
Praise the Lord. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread.
That is after they have eaten the Passover. After that, what? 7 days.
Even the first day, you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That soul shall be cut off from Israel.
Yes.
And in the first day, there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be an
just
holy...
Just a moment. Can we have a better microphone, please? Go on.
And in the first day, praise the Lord. And in the first day, there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt.
Okay, let me help you. Let me help you. Verse 17. Verse 17. Because your microphone is not good enough. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. For in this same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 120th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Praise the Lord. Now, why I took time to read this is to give you a picture of what we shall be making reference to. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17, and also Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible lets us know that all those ordinances, all those laws, all this new moon, the law of Sabbath, and all these, he said they are a shadow of things to come. And when he said there's a shadow, it means the original, the real image is on the way, coming. What it simply means is, it is speaking of something that was fulfilled in the New Testament, Christ and His church. So you have to understand it that way for you to understand how every bit of this story of what happened on the Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you have to know it is relating to something about Christ and His church. Remember that in Romans chapter 10 verse 4, the Bible says clearly that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 says, Jesus said, He said, He did not come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Praise the Lord. Now, if Christ is the fulfillment of the law, then you will understand 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. He spoke about where he was, he mentioned, he said, for even Christ, he said, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. This scripture is a key for us. He referred to Christ as our Passover. Remember that Christ is referred to in the Bible as the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. In John chapter 1 verse 29, Christ is the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Christ is the sacrificial Lamb slain, according to the Bible, Revelation chapter 13, was slain from the foundation of the world. He was slain for the atonement of our sins. That's what the Bible tells us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If Christ is our Passover, if Christ is our Passover, then you understand that the story in the New Old Testament, God going to Egypt to bring out His children to the promised land, is a type of God coming to the world. Amen. To bring out His children from the world to our promised land. Where is the promised land? He's going to take us to heaven. He's going to take us into the millennium. He's going to take us into a kingdom prepared for us, the Bible says, from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the last plague that came on Egypt after so many other plagues have come upon that land, just to show the whole world that there is a God. Hallelujah. One of these days, this our God that we serve, we show the whole world that there is a God somewhere. Destruction was coming on the land of Egypt, crying. The firstborn children were going to be killed. What provision did He make? He told them to get a lamb of the firstborn and gave the description of that lamb. And then they should kill that lamb and apply the blood in the lintels of the door and the doorposts. And when the angel of death will be passing through the land, when I see that blood in that house, the angel of death will pass over. Hallelujah. There's something I want you to note. That when Moses was telling the Jews this secret, the Egyptians knew nothing about it. That's why I say, hallelujah. The things that will pertain to our rapture, the rapture of the church, it's not everybody that will know about it. They're going about their normal business, but they didn't know that suddenly there's going to be weeping and crying in every family. The same setting is coming up again, church. and worse than what happened in Egypt. More serious than what happened in Egypt. This world is going to face a shaking. And please, it will soon take place. According to this Bible. According to the divine timetable that we have taught here. This world is going to face a serious shaking. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord. It is a day of vengeance. Christ is coming to avenge this world of all the caricature they have done against him. They have ridiculed us. They have ridiculed his name. They have made caricature of Christianity. They have made Christ look like some object of ridicule. Object of ridicule. I was watching one channel on the television, and it was supposed to be gospel music. And I saw the lady that was the musician. She dressed, you know, and they called them gospel musicians. I was screaming at my wife. I told my wife, come and watch something on the screen. He said, what is it? I said, that is a gospel singer. You think the devil doesn't know what he's doing? He's making a caricature of Christianity. You see? You see a man who wear a ring and plait his hair and then dress. All this, they are funny dressing. And they say, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm making caricature of him. You see? There are people that are going to church telling everybody that they are Christians. Whole big Bible. But the life they live in their environment is designed to put that same Jesus they are portraying, to put him in shame. You just imagine that you are the son or daughter, you are the daughter of your father. Your father is a prominent man. A prominent man in your place, in the whole nation. And then you are living a life that when they look, they'll say, and they say, this is this person's son. And they say, this is this person's daughter. Yes. Even our son. Yes. May God not give me picking. Yes. Each time you do that, you know you are not disgracing yourself. It's your father you are disgracing. And the devil has put Christians, churchgoers, put his children, devilish children, that will carry the Bible and live worse than devil himself, holding Bible. See? Why did he do that? To make caricature of Christianity. Christianity is the only religion in the whole world with a place of worship that the pastor will tell you, you can come anyhow, it doesn't matter. You can dress anyhow, it doesn't matter. God is a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. You know now, the way they dress and go to church, can you dress like that and go to a mosque? You can't now. Can you dress like that to go to a shrine? You can't now. You know it. But when you come to church, it doesn't matter. You just come anyhow. Come anyhow. Come anyhow. Come anyhow. Come anyhow. The dresses that some women wear to go to church, they can't wear it to go for an interview on Monday when they're looking for a job. They can't now. But going to the creator of the heavens and the earth, it doesn't matter. Even heaven want to answer me now. Praise the Lord. There is the day of the Lord that Christ will come and say, enough is enough. That day, the angel of death will pass through this whole world again. And the Bible spoke, there will be so much shaking that people will run to the mountain. Mountain will say, leave me. They will run to enter the sea will vomit them out. They will run enter scatter, nowhere to hide. Why? They will see the Lord coming in his fierce anger. The only people that will escape are those who have applied the blood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the application of the blood is going on now. People are applying the blood now in preparation for that day. But in the Old Testament, it was physical doorposts. But now, it is not physical doorposts of any physical house. Where are you applying it? In your heart. In your heart. And that is a whole sermon of its own, to apply the blood in your heart. What it means. Hallelujah. That's why we sing that song in our hymn book. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cry. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Over. Apply that blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what that Passover lamb was looking forward to. The precious lamb of God. Christ, our Passover. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we also pass over from death to life. From poverty to prosperity. From sickness to divine health. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why Christ is our Passover. How? In John chapter 3 verse 14. This is how he did it. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. Jesus Christ says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Where was he lifted up? On the cross on Calvary. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That verse 14 says, as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness. That takes us to Numbers chapter 21. Where the children of Israel committed all manner of sins, fornication in particular, and serpents were biting them. Because remember, the Bible says, break the edge. If you break God's edge of protection around you, what will happen? Serpent will bite you, children of God. There are a lot of situations we are in today that it is God's protection that we broke, and the serpent is biting you with frustration, biting you with poverty, biting you with disappointment, biting you, biting you, biting you. Praise the Lord. Break God's protection. His protection is all around us. If that protection covers you, witches and wizards can never prosper against you. No true child of God. No true child of God. Look, the Bible says, my life is hid with Christ in God. See, if any witch, they gather in their clothing, they are having a meeting, and they call a true child of God's name, they call Moses Alu. Do you know who will appear? Eh? No, you don't even understand. Who will appear? Eh, it's not Jesus. Who will appear? No, it's God. You don't understand. My life is hidden with Christ. We are in God. See, I am inside Christ, then Christ inside God. See how fortified we are. So anytime you call me, you want to see me, the person where they hold me go bring me now. So who will you see? God will appear. You call him, what happened? Oh, aren't you happy you're a Christian? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. But when the edge is broken, hallelujah, all that protection leaves you. That is when you are sleeping. They are passing, they are going for their meeting. They will remember saying you didn't sleep. They say, see this year, when they say fire, fire every time. They speak in tongue every time. They will come and say, ah, I'm thirsty, make I drink blood small. You don't sleep. The next time you wake up in the morning, you say, they carry razor blade, they tear me, they tear me, they tear me, tear you where? Where were you when they tear you, suck your blood? No, that is the truth. A true child of God, when a witch enter your room like this, the angel will wake you. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The only thing that keeps that angel away is sin. You are sleeping in your boyfriend's bed. Which angel will follow you standing there and they look you at your boyfriend? You see? Praise God. And God can't fight a battle for you when he's fighting a battle with you. Of protection, the serpent will bite you. The serpents were biting them in the garden, in the wilderness. And Moses went interceding, and God gave him a solution, the way of escape. God has a way of escape. The Bible says, hallelujah, that Jesus, God told Moses that he should just make a serpent of brass, hang it on a pole. Tell the children of Israel, wherever they are, and that serpent bites you. Hallelujah. If you can run and just come to where that pole is, because when a serpent bites you, you must die. The soul that sinned shall die. That sentence is over all of us. All of us, that sentence. But if, no matter what you have committed, no matter what sin you have committed, church, no matter what sin you have committed, if you can run to that pole, he didn't say you should climb it. If he said climb, then you can say, I cannot climb. I don't know how to climb. What did he say you should look? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, just look. If you just look, hallelujah. Our song says, I have a message unto you. Hallelujah. A message unto you. I'll bring. Oh, this recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is holy that you do. Jesus, now I live. This recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is holy as you do. As Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, he said, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Where was he lifted up? On the cross of Calvary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Further to that. Chapter 6. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. To eat the flesh of Jesus and to drink his blood, what does he mean? It means to accept the sacrifice that he offered for us. That's all. Accept it. That's what it means. Accept that his flesh was bruised for our iniquity. Accept that by his stripes we are healed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Accept that his blood has remitted our sins. Accept that his blood, blessed be the name of the Lord, hallelujah, has atoned for us, that he has redeemed us with the price of his blood. That is it, to eat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is it. That's why we say, you apply the blood in your heart. You believe in your heart that he went to the cross for your sake. The soul that sinneth shall die. But instead of me to die, he made a way of escape. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He made a way. He made a way of escape for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apply the blood is to believe in your heart. Believe that through that Lamb of God, I pass over from death to life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And remember that Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have immediately after the Passover, then there is another feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Lord said, for 7 days, nobody should keep leaven in the house. Leaven is yeast. You are to eat unleavened bread. Bread that has no yeast for 7 days. He said, if anybody keep yeast in his house, leaven, throughout these 7 days, he said, whether that person is a stranger, a Jew, or you are born in that house, in that place, whoever you are, they see you with pengele yeast. What are they to do to you? He said that person will be cut off. 7 days. Why? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John chapter 6. Again, let's read John chapter 6. Let me read from verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, remember, they came, they had just eaten bread. Amen. They just ate bread yesterday. They were looking for him again to eat more bread. You seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and we are filled. Then he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That is a sermon of his own. But verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Hey. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They are looking for that bread. They are thinking that it may be one special bakery that baked that type of bread. Blind people following Jesus blindly, carnally. As all, even till today, Christians, they do know nothing when it comes to the things that pertain to salvation. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, you are looking for one bakery, Abby? I am the bread of life. Hey. Hey. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Some kind of people will say here, but I know the chop, but I know get food to eat since I came to Jesus. Since no work, nothing before I eat. Now so I did beg. So our Bible say, if you come to him, he will never hunger. Are you a Pharisee? Are you a Sadducee? You know nothing about spiritual. He's not talking about agege bread. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Verse 48. Go to verse 48. 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Ha! The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Carnally minded people. The bread is what? The word of God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The word of God is bread. He says that after the Passover, 7 days, you are to eat bread without leaven. When was the Passover? The lamb was slaughtered on the cross on Calvary. Jesus says, after he was slaughtered on the cross on Calvary, blessed be the name of the Lord, shortly after, the church ages began. He left us the unadulterated word. Through the 7 church ages, we are to eat the unadulterated word of God. The word of God must not be mixed. It must not be mixed. Leaven here is speaking about the corrupted word, like we see in Matthew 13 verse 33. That woman that took a measure of meal and mixed it with 3 measures of meal and mixed it with leaven. And the 3 measures of meal there are the 3 works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. They took leaven, mixed it until the whole meal was corrupted. They substituted justification. Hallelujah. Justification, the doctrine of justification. That is when they substituted it with all the works and the novenas and all those penance and all those things that they used to do. And all those things for justification. For sanctification, that is when they bring about purgatory and all those things. And for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the third work of grace, they substituted it for one wafer, the Holy Eucharist, and corrupted the whole meal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, read it somewhere from verse 6, where he says that you should beware, hallelujah, of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And the Bible tells us down there that they understood later that he meant the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called it leaven. False doctrines. Every false doctrine is leaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, throughout these 7 church ages, amen. 7 days, 7 church ages. Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. The 7 churches there. They're all speaking about the 7 church ages. We've taken them several times here. You are not to mix this unadulterated word of God with any other false doctrine. He said they teach for commandment. For doctrine, commandment of men. They teach for doctrine, the commandment of men. There are a lot of things people teach today. You know that they are all commandment of men. It's true. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what I mean, because somebody from mosque that come here. Okay. But all of us, we know it. We know it. False doctrine. False. They tear our God that is one into 3. It's level. Hear, Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord your God, he is Trinity. was introducing himself to the Jews, his identity. Hallelujah. He said, "Hear, all ye Israel, the Lord your God is Trinity." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that was in AD 325 that that came up, more than 300 years after Christ died. That is when that came in. Leaven was added to the bread. Praise God. It's a leaven. False doctrine. False doctrine. And Apostle Paul emphasized it in Galatians chapter 1. If any man preaches any other thing contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. He said, even if an angel or he himself come again to teach anything contrary to what they have preached, let them be accursed. And he thought that I permitted a woman to teach, but you usurp authority over the man. By that, there should be no woman pastor. Therefore, any man that ordains a woman pastor, a woman ordaining a woman into the ministry, it is level he has added. That is level. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have only 6 offices in the Bible. 6 offices of leadership in the Bible. We have 1 Timothy chapter 3. The deacons, and there's no deaconess. They are deacons, not deaconess. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. 6 offices. Any other appointment you see in the church is level. It's level. It's level. 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 Praise the Lord. It's level. Hallelujah. A pastor, the Bible says bishop, must be a husband of one wife. Any pastor that has more than one wife is level. It's level, no? It's level. It's level. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A woman must not wear that which pertains to a man. And a man must not wear that which pertains to a woman. Any pastor that says it doesn't matter, it is serpent speaking. It matters. In this part of the world, trouser belong to man. You wear your brother or your husband's trouser, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Anybody teaching that is level. It's level. Ha! They sat down and they said 25th December is the birthday of Jesus Christ. It's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's level. It is level. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8 also says sin is level. He said when we come together for the communion, he said we should not eat with the level of malice or wickedness. Amen. When you come to eat that bread, when you come to eat the word, when we come to fellowship like this, you don't come here with polluted minds, with evil minds, gossip, jealousy, hatred, unforgiveness, lying, and all manner of carnalities. It is level. It is level. Your doctrine might be perfect scriptural, but if your life is also not scriptural, you become level. There are people that have their doctrine perfect, but their life completely opposite to the doctrine. Full of envy, full of evil. A Christian will set trap for another Christian to enter. When he enters, catch up. That is level. I remember it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and it is dealing with fornication. So fornication is level. Drunkenness is level. Covetousness is level. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading for you. Hallelujah. All of them lined up there. You see? Drunkards. A Christian will go and sit down in beer parlor and drink. Cha. Hey. Ha. Adult drinker. Christians will have their wife at home and still have girlfriend outside. Christian. That's the level. And you go to church. He said, if anybody is found with level throughout those 7 days, what will happen to him? Be cut off. And there are people that are going to church, but unknown to them, they are spiritually cut off. And they don't even know it. Because you are there living filthy lives. Filthy lives. Filthy lives. It's a shame for a Christian to be heard that a Christian is involved in fornication, adultery. It's a shame. It should not even be mentioned. Should not be mentioned. It's a shame. And yet, that's the commonest thing in the church. That's the commonest thing. Commonest thing. There was one youth camp. One youth camp that we went. We met a church there. We went to youth camp for our own private camp. Then a church went with their youth there. These Assemblies of God youth camp. They went there with their youth. And a lot of report came to the pastor that took them there. The pastor stood at the altar and said, within these 3 days that we were in this camp, he said that the Lord ministered to him that there were fornication in the camp. He said, let those people who were involved in fornication come out now, because he said God told him that they will not reach home if they don't confess. Half of those youths that came there, they came to the altar. There was a minister that went with me. Ike, you were in that camp that day. Thank you. Half of those number of youth, and those youth that were there, they were over 500 that went. Half, more than half came. Because everywhere in the camp was condom everywhere. Level. You don't eat this unadulterated word. You don't eat that word with such things, with leaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just take some few minutes more. I think I can finish this. Then we had the sacrificial lamb. In the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial lamb. In Leviticus chapter 16, let me just give you the scripture so that I finish this, because we are taking communion on Sunday. In Leviticus chapter 16, that is where we see the sacrificial lamb. If you commit any sin, you bring that lamb, it is slaughtered, you deserve to die, but instead of you to die, that lamb is slaughtered, and then your sins are atoned. And Apostle Paul was explaining the difference between that sacrificial lamb that took away the sin of the sinner that brought the lamb. Because remember that in John chapter 1 verse 29, John saw Jesus Christ passing, and when he saw the sign that God told him to identify, he who will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire, he screamed, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Therefore, that sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament was a type of the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away our sins. But Apostle Paul was trying to explain the difference between the blood of that animal and the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, and he says that the difference is that the sinner that brought the lamb, that sacrificial lamb, he said, there is nothing in that blood that affected the conscience of that sinner. So the sinner goes home and repeats the same thing again next year because he's still going to commit his sin because there's nothing in that blood. And in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 10, he said, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats will purge the conscience of the sinner." The blood of an animal cannot affect the conscience of that sinner. And so he repeats it every year. He has to come again and confess the word for this year. Next year again, he will go and confess it. He repeats it. But when Christ came, blessed be the name of the Lord, his own sacrifice was only once and for all. Why? There is something in his blood. Hallelujah. There's something in the blood of Jesus Christ. Something in that blood. Because I think in Leviticus chapter 16 or so, 17, he says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, he told them not to eat blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so, the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a life that is in his blood. The life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That should excite every Christian that is born again here. Hallelujah. The life in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal life. And so when he hung on the cross on Calvary, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he hung on the cross on Calvary, the Bible says he gave up the ghost after he shouted, "It is finished." Like I said on Tuesday, was it? I said when he said it is finished, what did he say is finished? The problem that existed between God and man is finished. The problem that made Satan to take a hold of us is finished. Everything he has thrown on you is finished. Hallelujah. And then Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." What do you believe? Believe that you are the reason why Jesus went to the cross on Calvary. Believe that by his stripes I am healed. Therefore, there's nothing like incurable sickness anymore. Jesus has made provision for our healing. The causes that are working against us has been nailed to the cross on Calvary. Every cause, it is finished. Every evil covenant working against us, it is finished.